Hello and welcome to the Midlife Pilot Podcast. It is a podcast, as you may have guessed from the creative title, all about being a pilot in midlife, learning to fly, experiencing aviation, and building one heck of a community while doing it. And I'm glad you could join us for episode 28 of the podcast. It's our first episode of 2023, and we're going to actually talk about goals for aviation and kind of recap some achievements from 2022. So glad you're here. My name is Chris Moran. I'm the Midlife Pilot on YouTube, and am so excited to ring in the new year, pop the confetti poppers, and cheers to my co-host and friend and fellow aviator coming at you live direct from Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Brian Siskin, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening and happy new year. And it's good that I'm sitting here hydrating and you're just still putting them down.
I'm actively dehydrating at the same moment. Funny how that works.
Yeah. So you're coming at us live from the Outer Banks, huh?
I am on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, site of last year's first inaugural Midlife Pilot fly-in. It's been a really crazy busy few weeks of travel, which we'll get into some of those stories. But how about I was in Las Vegas with the family over Christmas. So we were in Las Vegas. We had flown Southwest from Pittsburgh to Las Vegas. We were in Las Vegas while Southwest was in the middle of their legendary meltdown. Mm. So the whole week we're like, are we going to make it home? Miraculously, the day we flew out was the day they canceled two thirds of their flights nationwide, all of them but one from Nashville to Pittsburgh, or from Las Vegas to Pittsburgh. The one we were on, completely unaffected, left on time, had a hell of a tailwind, got home in 3 hours and 20 minutes from Las Vegas to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Wow. And there were 40 empty seats on our airplane. I was like, how did that work out?
Wow.
On Southwest. Yeah, it's crazy.
I was wondering how that was shaken out for you. You didn't seem phased. So I just figured, you know, you weren't affected.
Especially once we got to the point where they were saying like, well, you know, if you get stuck somewhere, we're just going to pay for everything. And we're like, if we can't get out of Las Vegas, we'll just stay a few more days on Southwest.
That's funny that you actually can apply. Like, there's something about general aviation that has changed how I travel or make plans or do anything now, even if it's not flying general aviation. I just have a much more relaxed, less ambitious, less, you know, schedule oriented. You know, it's like, we're going to get there. And then I just have flexibility, I think, more naturally now. Mm-hmm. Or expect the worst out of everything and hope for the best. And, it's kind of funny. It's, we had a big, we had the big freeze here too. So it was a whole thing. And so that messed up all my Christmas plans and all that. But you know, honestly, like I'm not a holiday person. My favorite day of the year is January 1st because it means the holidays could not be further away. It's the longest runway between me and the holiday season. Mm-hmm. While I respect that other people appreciate and love the holidays, I like everyday life a lot, actually. I don't need to put up that much importance on one day or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Depending on what you do. So it's anyway, I'm just glad it's over. I'm glad you survived Southwest. You know, did you do the thing where you put your like Sentry or whatever up, your Stratus, and then sit there like a
I am not that. Let me tell you, I am not that person. I'm not the guy who gets on the plane and goes tells the captain like, hey, by the way, if you need me, I'll be in the back. You know, like I don't even we stuck our head in. Cecilia, as we were walking by, she's like, I wonder if they'll let me look in the cockpit, and they're like, of course, stick your head in here, you know, and not like walk in. We just kind of poked our head and said hello and went back to our seats. What I am is the guy who sits up against the window seat. So I get online, I get the route, like the filed route that our flight is going to take, load it into my four flight, also get a performance profile for the type of jet that I'm on, and then sit up against the window. So my four flight is working off of the built-in GPS on my phone. But what's great is I'll lean over and tell like Cecilia and the people around me, like, hey, we'll have a slight right-hand turn coming up in about 12 seconds, you know, like along the route. And sure enough, we get to the waypoint and the thing's like, and we're like, I told you, I knew what was going to happen. I knew what we were going to do. So that's what I do on commercial flights.
So that's not nerdy at all. That's way, that's not. Oh, man.
We had a great trip. Honestly, on the trip out to Las Vegas, we were talking to this late. So they, we'll get into the topic in a minute. This is another aviation related story. So we were about 30 minutes late leaving Pittsburgh. We loaded the jet. Everybody's seated. They haven't shut the cabin door yet. And I keep wondering what's going on. We've been in here for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Nothing's happening. And finally, they come on and say, well, we're going to have to open the cargo doors and unload some freight. We are over maximum takeoff weight for this aircraft. We've been overloaded, so we can't take off. So they're... What had happened was, I think the headwinds were stronger than anticipated going out. It took us 5 hours and 15 minutes to get from Pittsburgh to Vegas, which is long. And I think the pilot figured out their fuel, loaded fuel. And then when they did their final calculations, like, wait a minute, now we're too heavy. So we're sitting there talking to this lady at the end. Cecilia and I are in a seat, and it's three-seater seat. And there's a lady on the end, and she's acting like, I wonder why they're taking stuff, or like asking some random questions, whatever. So I start, not mansplaining, but, pilot-splaining. I'm a pilot. So I'm like talking to this lady and telling her stuff. And I said, so what? She's like, I start a new job on Tuesday. I said, oh, that's great. What are you doing? She's like, well, I've worked for Southwest in their customer service for like 15 years. She's like, I just got my AMP. I'm going to be a mechanic. I'm going to be a mechanic for Southwest. Whoa. And I was like, well, what am I telling you anything about like weights and like how they unload your airplanes? Like, and she was just letting me talk, being polite. I'm like, this is, I apologize. Like, of course you got more about this than I do. I thought that was cool. Like, she spent her whole career like in the customer service side, went to school, got her AMP and got a job at Southwest as a mechanic. I'm like, that is awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. I think it's cool too. When you see a lot of flight attendants actually that go get, go to ATP and do that, which I think is really cool. That's pretty awesome. So you made a fool of yourself, but it was kind of a fun thing.
Right. Well, then we had a lot to talk about the rest of the way. So, it was cool to like,
Elliot asked me he's asking if I'm using an in-ear monitor in my left ear, cause he doesn't know how I'm hearing the audio. No, I'm just playing it out of the speakers. It just doesn't feed back because this mic is super directional and I don't have it cranked up too loud. And also the software, I think, helps with the feedback. Does.
There's a lot of echo cancellation magic happening within Restream. I normally have speakers, but because Brian knows, I traveled to the Outer Banks completely unprepared to do this podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't bring a mic or anything. I have to use my headset from work tonight. Yeah. Well,
let's get into it because I know we got a hard out at 9 o'clock Eastern. Our Discord situation is really cool because a lot of conversations start there that, we never really have to think too hard about what we want to talk about. We're really just extending a lot of the conversations that are happening and incubating in the Discord, out to the rest of the podcast listeners, or watchers. And so it's cool because, we had basically been talking in the, chat about what we accomplished essentially in 2022 of note, or that we felt good about, and then what were our goals for 2023. And I thought, hey, why not extend that outward? Also, there's something about saying it out loud, right? if you say it on a podcast, then obviously it's true, or it has to happen, right? I mean, there's no choice. And I'm actually, you and I haven't even talked about this, so I think it'll be cool to sort of go over that because nobody knows what your goals are. I know what some of your side hustles are right now that I think are terribly interesting. We'll save that for later.
Sure.
We'll have to have like a suspense thing for this episode, but and maybe at the end you can reveal this new quest that you're on.
No? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's nothing controversial.
It's not that exciting. It's not controversial. Exciting. Yeah, no.
You've been to some Chippendales Academy and like you're going to just, so there's a whole thing.
Exactly. I'm dying to get turned C-SPAN back on because the house has just reconvened and we may decide whether or not we're going to have a speaker of the house this year. So I'm looking forward to following that cluster some more later. Yeah, anyway, yes.
So good times. So, so I don't know, maybe we just start with, just talking generally about, what it is to have goals, why not have goals, what that means for us, in this kind of midlife phase. None of us are doing this necessarily for an ATP career generally. Maybe some of us have commercial aspirations, which we'll get to that. But, you know, we don't have to have goals, right?
Sure. No, I mean,
it's all self-imposed, progress at this point. Once you get your private pilot certificate, you know, you can do as much or as little as you want. I mean, be proficient, be safe. But I mean, you know, we could all just rest on our laurels and go get $100 hamburgers for the rest of our lives and, our flying days. And that's totally valid and totally fine.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that get their license and then don't fly really at all. And it was just something they wanted to see if they could do it. But I think most of us have, you know, aspirations. And I think that the type of people that we are that get into this, it takes so much money, energy, life force to get a private pilot certificate. It's hard to sort of turn that off, right? Like, you're going to have other things that you want to keep doing. And there's just an endless world to explore. Why not get the most out of it? So, you know, it's been really cool to hear about a lot of other people's aspirations. I'll just share mine real quick because they're not particularly interesting. They're pretty boilerplate because I'm still early on in this whole thing. And real quick to maybe rewind, you know, 2022 was my first, you know, full year having a private pilot certificate. And I've got it right here. I did 98 flights. I did 141 hours, 174 landings, 96 hours of cross country, 5 hours of night flying. I, you know, got to fly at least one other plane. I got to just fly some low wing, which I'm now a fan of. And you know, I had some great adventures, went to the Outer Banks where you are there, slept in that room right there behind you, and, got stranded, on an island and learned a lot of things and,
yes,
you know, had all kinds of fun. I flew to Texas. I flew to, you know, I got stuck in Louisiana, did a lot of things that I was super happy with and had a lot of fun with. And then I think the highlight ultimately has been just the community and seeing all that come about. And I made, you know, over 50 videos for YouTube. In the past year, I mean, some are more thought out than others, but, you know, I tried to always be creating and processing whatever my experiences were and sharing them. So been a pretty damn good year. But now for 2023, you know, I was just texting with my flight instructor the other day who doesn't instruct anymore. He's, flying a Citation for a private owner, out of DC. But I check in with him now and again, and I told him how many hours I had, and he said, it's time to get your instrument rating. And I already know that, and I was trying to start that in November, but the plane that I want to do the training in, I knew was going to be down for a month, which is happening right now. But when that picks back up, I'm going to start my training, and I'm going to get my instrument rating unless I go broke first. Well, so we'll see what happens. But that's really the number one thing. And then otherwise, I just have a general goal of I want to fly, you know, 140 hours. Honestly, even if I get like 100, that's good. That's the minimum. But I think that right now it's still time to keep the heat on and keep going as much as I can afford to do it. And then, you know, I have some goals about, you know, growing my, you know, audience or whatever with the work I'm doing. But I mean, that's just going to be whatever it is. Ultimately, it's just about the flying, and I just want to get my instrument rating and not. It's starting to feel like a monkey on the back a little bit, and. You know, everybody else has one. So why yeah,
exactly.
Shouldn't we?
Exactly.
Everybody else has one. So anyway, that's where it goes for me. I think that honestly, just getting the instrument rating and alone will be such an incredible accomplishment for me because of just time and money and focus, and my brain's not very good with things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of intelligence.
Well, that's not true, but
I don't have book smarts, right? Like it's not, my studying has been challenged. So we'll see, but, I just like anything else, you just do it. I mean,
yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. Well, let's hear about you.
Let me give you some numbers that are going to surprise you. And then I'm going to say some things that may also surprise you about goals and projections for 2023, or may not actually. my year is not nearly as flight hours. What was your total hours in 2022? It was like
140.
Yeah, it's more than twice mine. I had 63.9 total hours in 2022. 94 landings. 2.7 hours at night in the entire year of 2022. Mm-hmm. 0.6 of an hour of actual instrument time and an approach on my VFR flight review on my, my biennial flight review.
That was excellent. Go see the episode if you haven't.
Yes, it's one of my favorites. It's actually with Victoria, who I hope to do my instrument with. So pretty average year. Like I have always said, my number of hours per year is 60. Because that equates to about 5 hours per month, which I think for my schedule and my lifestyle is going to be pretty reasonable. Unless I'm like trained, like if it's instrument rating year or whatever, like there'll be some bonus stuff in there. But
yeah,
I think just for casual recreational flying, for the fact that like my wife doesn't like to fly. So, you know, we're not going to use it for the trips. Like it was possible that it could have been done. I think like 60 hours for me is probably a good, I'm pretty happy with 60 hours. Now, here's something else is interesting that I was doing the math on today. Recent flight experience for me, this might surprise you. I had 0.8 of an hour on November 10th, so almost 2 months ago was my last flight.
Wow!
And before that, as PIC. You know, not at the fly-in in October with you in Nashville, et cetera. Before that, my previous flight was 0.9 of an hour on October 23rd. So in the last 90 days, I have 6 hours because one of that was a trip in October to Newport News. And that is all I have flown in the last 3 months.
So I think this is terribly interesting because one, it's like, the first instinct is maybe, and I'm not saying you feel this way, but I think a lot of people would go, oh, that, you know, that should feel bad for some reason. But I mean, there's no reason for that. And it is obviously you balancing a lot of priorities and all of that. But, you know, and I think also there's in training, I think people tend to be unnecessarily comparative about when do they solo and da 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 and all that. And I think that some of the residue of some of that kind of thinking can kind of carry on into the rest of your certificate having life. And I mean, you've probably got some maintenance to do, and that's a legitimate thing. And I think that for a lot of people that are midlife pilots, like this is a really interesting chapter of that to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about just being like a superstar badass all the time, right? We are people juggling a lot of things, and we're not trying to be CFIs right now or whatever. So
that's right.
I've
been really enjoying the other parts around aviation. I've told you this, I think, when we've had some conversations. Like, I'm kind of spoiled in that, like, I started a flying club that I run that takes a lot of time. I'm the president of the airport authority of the airport that I'm at. So, like, I'm super enjoying all of this other stuff in the orbit of aviation around it, as well as the flying. So it's not like I'm disconnected from that world. I love, I almost love as much the other parts of it. Like, we've had some people get their private pilots in our flying club. Like, they've taken our planes out and got their certificates. I'm watching these other people take our planes and succeed and do these things. Yeah. And so, like, just being around that part of it has become, super rewarding and a pretty fulfilling part of the aviation thing for you. I don't not want to fly. It is just like the current like cycle of like the ebb and flow of life schedules and the weather. It's winter time in West Virginia. Yes. Like, and I saw somebody commenting through here just a minute ago. It's David Moscardelli who said Michigan weather has been awful. His last flight, October 27th, 1,000-foot ceilings every day. I mean, it's that time of year, you know, where it's just the opportunities for VFR pilots, well, or even, frankly, instrument pilots in non-ficky, you know, air planes.
You got frost on the wings all day or whatever.
Exactly. You know? You're still dealing with the same problem. So it's the time of year as well. It all kind of compounds. So here's my thing from a goal standpoint. 60 in terms of hours, I'm happy with 60 hours a year. If I can get 60 hours a year. I don't know that I anymore. I went through this, that phase where I was convinced that I'm going to start my instrument. I'm not sure I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah.
We've had a similar situation to you, Brian, that one of our three flying club planes has been out of service since September with a prop strike. Its engine came in last week. In fact, the irony of my, that I haven't flown for 90 days. One of the first flights I actually may do when I get back to West Virginia this weekend may actually be a break-in flight in 5-2 Lima with the brand new engine on the thing. So I may go from like, I haven't flown for 3 months. I haven't flown this plane.
It's a test pilot.
7 or 8 months. Yeah. I'm going to get in it and take it with like its first hour of its brand new engine. So anyway, it may, you know, so I think 60 hours for me, I'm going to spend, I think this year enjoying more of just this, like the stuff we've been doing, the casual flying, the flying get togethers that we're trying to put together, just like without the pressure or the expectation. And the other thing, and then this is a good audience for this, is that I've got to get back to content production again. I have got to get in a routine. That was actually one of my resolutions for 2023. I've got to get into a workflow and a routine where I can, because I have so much content to produce. Like I have material that's just waiting, and I've got the workflow down for capturing it, and I just need to get into the cycle. To where I can create content on a regular schedule like I used to. So
maybe everybody can in the chat just talk about how much they love your content and how they wish that they had more of it, and they feel bad because you're not making it as much. Then you have like guilt is a great motivator. Yeah, let's try that. You know, if that doesn't work, we'll try shame. You know, we'll see how it goes. No, but here's the thing, man. Like you're still doing a lot of things, and then ultimately, I actually had a quick question about this. I would be very interested to see what depictions and storytelling and portrayals you could do around this peripheral that you're involved in. You're in a very unique position.
Yeah. I've thought about that. And I had a couple of things for my patrons. Like one of the things I thought about doing was a whole series on the break in of the engine, then maybe make it a patron only thing. Like, you know, like the nitty gritty behind the scenes, like in the plane for the break in flights, like watching what the mechanics are of what we're doing on these break in flights and and if I had been in town, I would have loved to have documented some of the, like putting the engine back on. You know, like the actual, like installing a new engine and all the things that go into that. So I'm sad personally to be missing that.
Well, also just like things around the airport and what that means and just all that. I would like to know more about that. So maybe that's like a way to grease the skids, because it's ultimately about doing what you know, and that's what you're doing. That's really cool. And there's plenty of things to do.
For sure.
So that's awesome. And then, you know, what, as far as, you know, I know you also have the potential challenge of if your daughter is going to start training, then you would probably have to curtail some things too.
Yes, exactly. And some of that kind of got on hold too. She's a senior in high school this year. She's picked her college.
Yeah. Jump off into the unknown.
No. She's going to start into West Virginia University. And so she made the decision to postpone that as well for her own kind of schedule and just figuring out what college life is going to look like and whatever. But it's something she still definitely very much wants to do. But that's also got slightly put on hold too. Maybe I should take advantage of still having time to do that. Maybe while
budget, like we all have budgets that we adhere to, right? Well, that's awesome. So I know that we, I'd like to see people throw in there in the chat here what their 23 goals are. And in the meantime, maybe we can hit people with the audio message that we got that we really wanted to play. That's I think worthy of a conversation unto itself.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to set it up or just play it and then talk about it later?
So let's just play it.
Yep. Here we go.
Hello, midlifers. The Sage here. I hate using that name, but apparently it's sticking. My goal for 2023 is in large part due to the other midlifers upping their aviation game. I feel like I have to up mine. So I decided to go out and get my commercial rating. Also wanted to stay active within the midlife community and be as supportive as possible. Hope everybody has a good 2023.
Awesome.
So I thought he was going to say my first goal is to get out of this well that I'm trapped in.
Come on now. you can't ask people to send audio messages and then
he's got a microphone. I know the Sage has a microphone. Like
he might have been in his car. Who knows what he was.
Somebody call EMS down there in Georgia and get him out of this well. But that's great. The one of us that's probably the most experienced that we know of that listens or is a part of the sort of community, to still be striving and still be looking to do more and to go commercial. That's really like a new threshold, isn't it? Right. Like now it's like, maybe make a little money. And I will say, not to bring it back to myself, but I'd like to bring it back to myself.
For sure.
I have somebody had asked me the other day, if I had any aspiration, to be a CFI, and I have to just admit that there's some part in the back of my head that's similar to maybe what you've talked about, where it's like, maybe that would be an all right sort of, I can do it when I want a retirement type of, gig, it's one of those things that where ultimately I can't imagine putting up with all the politics of a flight school and dealing with all the stuff. I think being a private CFI, it's sort of like if you want to go to like the weird guy, go to this guy. If you're a weird person and you want to go fly with the weird instructor, then go fly with that guy. Like I feel like I could have my own little weird kind of Jack Kerouac flight school kind of thing. But I have thought about that. And then, I forgot to mention also that part of my inclination to get the instrument rating too is so that, because I know the Sage does angel flights, and I know that he's looking to do even more of those. And I think having a commercial license, even though that's not required for that, is such a great way to sort of have a little bit more certainty around those types of operations and safety that goes along with that. And I myself have thought about, there's an organization here. It's called the Freedom Aviation Network. You can look up their website, freedomaviationnetwork.org. I'm going to be making some content for them, I think. But basically they're based here. It's a new organization, a 501c3 nonprofit that is helping victims of human trafficking get transported out of their situations, and they need pilots. They're kind of going by the 250 hour instrument rating kind of minimum. Although I think that if you talk to them, there might be some ways where you don't have to necessarily be all that. But that's part of my motivation too, and I'd love to talk, maybe we should do an episode on angel flights.
We absolutely should. That's a great idea. Yep.
Because that's like the next, to me, that's the next thing, right? $100 hamburgers are great. Trips are great, but it's all self-serving to an extent. Right. And so what can we possibly be doing, or at least aiming for, that could be helpful to others? That's when I think learning a craft becomes obviously the most valuable. Thanks Sage for that. That's awesome.
Yes. Very cool. Very cool. And you'll have no trouble getting there for sure.
Right. Like he'll just walk up and they'll be like, here, just
sign
just,
here.
Just log into IACRA. Let's just
sign it off. Yeah. The guy, the DP will go out and get in his plane to like do the check ride and like sit down in the seats and like fall asleep and be like, they'll be back. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that was easy.
So by the way, I don't know if I told you this, but month ago, I flew down to the Sage's airport.
I saw some pictures or something from that, I think.
Yeah. So me and Steve Cross, who's about to have his check ride on the 12th, God rest his soul. he'll do great. We flew down there, and then, one dull geek flew from North Carolina. So we had kind of this impromptu meetup down there and had a lunch. But when I was coming in and I called the tower, the first call I made, the response I got was basically the guy saying, all right, you know, the sage is in, something like the sage is expecting you, you know, go ahead and, you know, report 5 mile downwind, whatever, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Totally. And here's the thing, Chris, I have two ways that I'm simultaneously recording audio and they both failed.
Oh my God. Is it on Live ATC somewhere? Is that a Live ATC airport? I got to go find that.
It was so great. And I don't think it is. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, you have to remind yourself what it was like in the olden times before you could capture everything and just go, well, I experienced that. But I got a specific, like he didn't say Ben. He said the sage. It was so good. I have my tablet recording the audio through the app, but it just, for whatever reason, it decided on that flight. It'd never done this before, but it just was recording my voice and no other voices. I don't know why or how that happened. Oh. And then the GoPro audio just didn't work. I couldn't believe it. I don't know if I told Sage that yet. I didn't want to break in the news, but hey, man, I was there. There were witnesses. It was pretty great. I'll never forget it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Let's read some goals from some other some folks in the chat tonight. You want to do that? Some 2023 goals. That's a good reminder too for our podcast audiences that we record this podcast on Wednesday nights at 8 Eastern every other Wednesday night. So it's a great time to join in. And the chat is, we can't even. If you're listening to this audio podcast, you can't even appreciate the side conversations that occur through here. And there's just a whole thing that has a whole little unique universe sidebar, that, yeah, it's over here in this, literally it's a sidebar in the video part of the stream, but like there's a whole other thing happening during this show as well. Every time we record it. So let's just go back through historically and read some of the folks in chat. And if you haven't put them in there yet, put some goals in chat and we'll get to them. Michael Young, Nashville flying attendee and a Cirrus earlier this year, said, I have a lot of goals for 2023, but my biggest is to fly from Georgia to California and hit Catalina Island. That's one of those legendary places. I've seen a ton of YouTube videos of folks flying out there, and it looks awesome.
Well, if anybody will do it, Michael Young will do it.
I mean, that's absolutely the fact.
Michael, you're a beast. It's like, we'll just talk about it today and then you'll see a post from him in 2 days. It'd be, you know, posing in front of like airport in the sky.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. He's like, I did it. It's 2023. It's January 6th.
You don't sleep. You can get here really fast.
David Moscardelli says getting his instrument rating and 2 to 3 multi-state trips. First time to Osh, which is awesome. Probably driving.
Yeah.
It's like my first time to Osh was a flight into Milwaukee. And then we drove the rest of the way. Cause it was horrifying.
I'm not convinced of the value of flying into Oshkosh yet.
Unless you're going to camp under your airplane, which, you know, that's not my, that's not in my style.
That would be the mid 20s podcast.
Exactly.
And I would have done that. Yeah.
217 student pilot says he flew to Oshkosh with Pilot Edge, was pretty cool. I don't know if any of you have done that. They do a sim venture. It started during the pandemic the year Oshkosh was canceled. Pilot Edge is a service, if you're not familiar with it, that's like a subscription-based air traffic control service for your flight sims at home. I use it during my flight training. Immensely beneficial for radio communications because it's like the real deal. But they got together and teamed up with some of the folks who do air traffic control for Oshkosh, and they created a scenery pack and a whole system to do the entire Oshkosh event, the arrivals and everything on the simulator. And they scheduled it for a weekend, just like Oshkosh days. And like you get online, you see all the other traffic, they're on your iPad connected to your flights. I mean, it is the whole experience. Wow. And it is brilliant. It was such a huge success the first year. They've kept doing it even after Oshkosh has started back, and they literally bring in the real Oshkosh controllers to do it on the flight sim. And it's there's videos of it all over the internet. If you check it out, it's pretty incredible stuff.
That is wild.
Let's see. Stinky Weasel 1. This is a little inside baseball here. Redo comms in the 150. That means like there's literally we're changing out some hardware in the 150 in our flying club. Start checking off airport lists, doing a sea of cross countries, and getting his instrument rating, which would be awesome.
That's a lot. That's a lot,
but he's
can't be done.
It can absolutely be done. Old Aviator also says 2023 goal is to complete his or her instrument rating. Wait, that's a he. I know who that is.
It's too bad we can't just like crowdfund or crowdsource. Like everybody just wants to, like we just start our own school, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Austin Timmerman says his goal is to get my private and to fly to a concert and get tailwheel endorsement, which would be awesome.
Yeah. There's so many endorsements like that too. That I would love to get. I can't pragmatically justify it because I will not be able to sustain doing that.
Yeah.
I really want to get a complex endorsement, but it's like, so what does that mean? Now I have to fly even more expensive planes that I can't afford. I don't know. It's tough.
It doesn't die though, does it? It doesn't require any.
No, but if you're going to do it, you want to use it. I don't know.
I mean, gear up, gear down, rock and roll. Yeah. Let's see. I'm still scrolling. I'm way back now. I'm at the beginning of the episode now.
One Dull Geek has got his here at the top. 2023 goals, owner-assisted annual, sufficient proficiency to fly and approach to minimums in IMC. By the way, congratulations, big congratulations to One Dull Geek for passing his instrument check ride. And he's been so... it's been great for him to share all of his experience in the Discord because it brings me a little focus about what to expect and all that. That's one of the coolest things I think about the Discord is that it demystifies a lot of these things. Or was that a normal check ride? Was a lot of the conversation because he had quite a unique check ride experience. So very, very cool. Congratulations, Mr. Geek.
It's very awesome.
And it was good to see him. He was supposed to be studying and he came out to have lunch with us instead and still passed the check ride.
Amazing.
But so now Chris, do you have any sort of bucket list type of destination places that are kind of bugging you that you want to get to sooner than later? Or are you all right at the moment?
No, I do. I really want to do. I saw Andy Huggins is in the chat. I saw him talking about the New York. I really want to do the New York corridor, the Hudson River corridor.
Michael Young did there. It just recently.
I know.
Yeah, and amazing.
It's been on my list too. And in fact, David Moscardelli who's in the chat, and I actually I've got and talking about content I've got recorded. I have an interview. We actually did a thing with, I'm drawing a blank, with the guy who flies up there. He's got an apartment in Manhattan and he flies, that corridor all the time. Yeah. We did a thing with Bruno, where he gave some great tips on how to like fly the corridor. He's done videos of that on his channel, but we did a Zoom with him.
Oh, neat.
And recorded it probably, oh my gosh, a year ago, maybe. And we haven't done anything with it yet, but I would love to go up there and do that trip because it's, there's a lot of traffic. You got to keep your eyes peeled, but it's not as complex as maybe it seems. I mean, it's pretty defined. There's a lot of very visual reference things that you can't miss. I mean, you just do what you're supposed to do and be where you're supposed to be. And it's not that crazy of a thing to accomplish. So
I feel like if I lived in New York City and been able to get around on a bike and manage the subways and everything else, then I should be able to probably manage flying over it. It's probably less complicated.
Absolutely. Definitely less crowded.
Yeah.
So I'd like to do that.
Where'd it go? Ivy was saying unofficial co-pilot spouse 2023 list, which I think is great because we do have some people that are maybe not necessarily pilots, but but our proximity pilots or backup pilots. So in this case, yeah, keep practicing radio comms, do a pinch hitter course, and co-pilot flight to Niagara Falls. So I just think that's awesome. That's awesome. I've been kind of pressing my wife a little bit on pinch hitter course. You know, as much as I think it'd be a great opportunity for her growth as a person, it's more about the opportunity for me to have entertainment. I just love the idea that like there's no way that I could teach her anything.
Think of the thumbnails.
It's going to have to be an instructor. Right. I know. The thumb.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Right. Wife in bikini gets pinch hitter course.
Most viewed video on the scene. I mean, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. But you know, congrats on pushing to have that goal for the pinch hitter course. I just think that's something that a lot of people should do, if they can. So, oh yeah.
Sorry, I'm reading. I'm stuck reading the comments. Yeah,
it's getting busy in there.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so now in terms of, you know, you've talked about your future plans, maybe with some of the things with your channel. But tell me about what happened in 2022 that maybe stuck out, like particular piece or video you have that did well, or what you're most proud of making, yeah, or anything like that.
Boy, it seems like such a long time ago to think of the whole year. I really haven't done a bunch of retrospective thinking on it, but I will say that one of the, honestly, the best times, I had such a great time coming to Nashville for that fly-in. It was such a, so I'm pretty, I'm go, go, go. I'm 175% on one thing. And then when I run out of energy, then I get into the opposite pivot of that cycle where I just don't want to do anything. It probably, honestly, probably explains why I haven't flown. I mean, it probably explains a lot of the, if I really was to like sit down and psychoanalyze myself and talk to a therapist. I mean, I work through a lot of these things.
That's what we're here for. You got about 35 therapists in the chat, I think.
Exactly.
I think maybe more.
What was really great for me is the way we manage the fly-in, and that I didn't fly an airplane down, and I kind of just freeloaded off of everyone. And I'm sorry to those of you who took advantage of the situation, but flew down with Josh in the Cirrus, hung out with you guys, flew in all of your planes while we were there, crashed at your place, and like had literally no responsibility. Was able to, you know, shoot video and make some content. I still owe the world a part two. That is actually, it's half done. I mean, it's half edited. I just haven't finished it yet.
Releases part 1.5.
Yeah, exactly. Just as it is. But the trip really was, that was definitely a highlight in October, the Nashville. The other thing I'll say about it is the other part I think was, getting to fly for work. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. Getting to fly to Newport News with a coworker for a couple of times to go down there for when you really start to break down the benefits of that, like cost time, like the 8-hour drive versus like the 2-hour flight trip, it starts to make a lot of sense. And so we never officially flew for work, quote.
Right.
End quote.
Of course. I'm just glad to hear that exactly that was the experience you had in Nashville, because it really was my response to what your response was from having done all the planning for the event in March for the Outer Banks. It was a lot on you. And so I wanted to do something where it was like, we learned from that, right? So now, and we still, we had been talking about St. Simons for March. But now that is not going to be happening because of reasons that are beyond our control. But we'll still get there one day. Mm-hmm. But I guess people have priorities in their life or whatever, that their jobs. It doesn't make any sense. So we still we have a weekend in March that we've all nailed down that we've got to figure out where we're going to go and what we're going to do. Yep. And, you know, here's the thing, man, worst case scenario, everybody just come back to Nashville because that worked. And there's plenty of other places we can go that are awesome. If that's like a central enough hub and that works as a backup, maybe that's a thing. But, I feel like I want to go somewhere where it's not cold. And even in that time of year, who knows what it'll be, but, it won't be warm probably. Right. I don't know. So we got to figure that out. So if you guys have suggestions in the chat of where you think we should host the next Midlife Pilot fly-in, you know, everybody just list your home airport in the chat.
we'll draw them out of a hat, and if we'll come to your hometown and surprise you all, we're all crashing at your place.
Oh, and yes, one dull geek saying that he hates hearing about how great of a time we had.
I still got to get that clip to share with everyone.
Oh, it's the best.
It is the best.
Yeah. I hate that we're still relishing in that, Mr. Geek, but you saying damn it was the funniest thing I'd seen. It was so guttural. It was so, it's like one of those movie cuts where they open out to like the mountains and the birds scurrying and the, like the loud screenshot.
Yeah. We had all, just to recap real quick for everyone who didn't know, we had all made it to Nashville and One Dull Geek was coming to this fly-in and was the plan to come to this fly-in, and he had taken off in his Cherokee and was on his way and was smelling fuel and reached down and around his fuel selector valve. The carpet was wet and it was fuel leaking from the fuel selector valve. And when he was videoing his flight and when he realized there was fuel leaking there and he sent us the clip of it, he smelled the fuel and he just said, damn it, he explained to us later, that wasn't even about he wasn't upset about the fact that he had a fuel valve, problem and that there was fuel leaking in his thing and that his cabin could explode at any moment. He was, he was upset about the fact that he knew immediately that he had to turn around and couldn't come to the fly-in in Nashville that weekend. And, so we all felt terrible, but it was a bummer for sure.
Yeah.
But there's a video clip of it. We need to show it. I need to make a note to myself. Maybe the next podcast recording, we'll play the clip from it.
Austin Timmerman saying he wants to go to Tennessee, but not to Nashville. I totally understand that sentiment. We live in a middle of this is like a drunk Disneyland for tourists here. There's a lot of other great places in Tennessee. I mean, the flying's good here, but be interested to see what other Tennessee places you like. I mean, the Eastern Tennessee is great in the mountains and all that. So the date, the question was the date, March 24th through the 26th. So it's the weekend before Sun and Fun, I think. If I'm not mistaken. March 24th through March 26th.
Yeah, March 28th to April 2nd, then a Sun and Fun. So yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, I don't know what that means. If the Sun and Fun has no implications on it, but, I do know that somebody's already reserved the Archer to go to Sun and Fun that I fly. So I won't be flying anywhere during Sun and Fun, but that's okay. March 24th through 26th. I mean, we'll just have to keep kicking it around, people. And, there's a lot of time for a lot of different plans to happen and go wrong and change and weather to be bad. And we'll just figure it out. Is there like a perfect place to go? Where's like the least,
I don't know. We need to figure it out now.
Yeah. Well, and also I just want to give a special shout out to Timestamp Tedder and the Sage for, I don't know if you guys all are actually on the audio podcast, thread, subscription, whatever you want to call it. But we had the holidays off for the podcast, and the Sage and Timestamp Tedder recorded one of their conversations that was really great. If you haven't checked it out, go find our podcast, the audio version on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. But we released it as a bonus episode and it's performed well. Like, I don't know, like maybe we don't even need to do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe we could just kind of start to farm this whole thing out, but no, but it was a great conversation about, their perspectives coming from, you know, timestamp Tedder is, you know, he's flown a gazillion planes in his 160 hours or whatever he has. He's got, you know, as many hours as he does airplanes that he's flown, and whatever perspective and experience that that yields versus the Sage, who's got all this time essentially in one plane. And there's sort of some pros and cons to having a widely varied experience versus a singular experience. And it was a very, very interesting conversation. So definitely go check it out. And, you know, if you won't subscribe to our podcast, the audio version for us, at least subscribe for them and support that.
Speaking of Tedder, I have to say, you, Brian, you've done a disservice to the audience by teasing at the open of the show some big news that's coming, because everyone's going to be horribly disappointed when I tell them the complete insanity that is, because it is not.
Let me just ask you: do you have the?
I do not. Okay. I do not. That would have been great. Okay, so
you can just the sound that the Price is Right they guessed wrong sound.
It's not, except it's not a trombone. So okay, so I was a music major in college, trumpet major, hadn't played for years. Started playing French horn in a community band a couple years ago. I've decided to get serious about that. I've started private horn lessons, and I'm going to play in the orchestra at Western University and the community orchestra starting in January, later this month. So like I'm getting back into like that side of the music thing. I'm going to play in an orchestra for the first time since 1997. So that's all. I mean, it's not like it's big news. It's just another one of the things that take time away from, you know, flying airplanes, but it's okay.
That's huge news.
I love ensemble music.
I think that that's a great thing. I mean, and ultimately, it's kind of like once you've learned how to fly an airplane and passed a check ride, a lot of other things just feel a lot, I don't know, more approachable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like there's no TSA. There's no. I mean, exactly. You just play the horn. I just think that's awesome.
Fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's a good challenge.
Maybe you could combine these things somehow.
The French horn pilot. Let me kick some ideas around.
My first thought is about pitch relative to the atmosphere. I have questions. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll explore
this. How much does it weigh? Can you put it in the 150?
Oh, yes. It's not that bad. I mean, as long as I'm by myself.
Is it like a yoke mount for the French horn?
ATC, yeah. Is like, what is that? Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's good times.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up. I know you got to get out and I got to eat. But,
it was good.
These little lives, I guess.
Yeah. That's great. This is all great. And I think 2023 is going to be an exciting year. And, I'm looking forward to it. And we've really, we're, as we say every week, we're super thankful for the group of people that we've kind of been lucky enough to meet and, you know, kind of surround ourselves with. That still is my favorite part about this whole journey has just been the people I've met and the stuff that we've been able to create together and the meetups we've had. I mean, there's just a lot. There's a lot of positives. So thank you all for being a part of it in any way that you are, patrons or subscribers or friends, or however world we've met in.
Absolutely. And by the way, there's some great stuff flowing in the chat right now about your horn playing.
I see it. There has to be
a Venturi joke in there. That's pretty great. Something a little bit more altruistic about, you know, maybe you could play charity concerts around the country at children's hospitals. You know,
put it out the window. Those,
right?
Put it out the window. It's a secondary stall horn. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
All right. So now we've got food for thought for the next 2 weeks while we ponder the next episode. Sure. But yeah, thanks again, everyone. We appreciate it very, very much. Make sure you press buttons and share things and, I don't know, do whatever things that don't take a lot of energy that help us sustain whatever we're doing here. Cause, you know, we got horns to pay for. We got, do you rent it? Like,
no,
you rent it like a kid in school, you know, like
I have one. It's a nice one too. But thankfully,
is it, would you say your French horn is sort of the Beechcraft of horns or the Cessna of horns or the Mooney?
It's not a cirrus of horns. but it's also not a, I don't know. It's not a model rocket ship.
Is it old or new?
Oh, it's old. It was made in 1966.
Okay. So
it's a Con 8D. Google it. It's a really good one. It's a good one.
All right. So it's like an old stationaire.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks everybody.
Thanks for potting with me, Brian. And we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.